This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com with a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 164, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Interstellar and Big Hero 6, spoiler-free review of John Wick and Missionary. Our From the Outside In topic this week is space exploration, latest in movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson, and I am a part-time critic and full-time film nut. And with me today are my fellow hoes. He teaches the young to become gamers like him, and occasionally he watches a movie. Scott Clark?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. We have our own walking, talking, entertainment encyclopedia, and all-around Southern smartass, Brian Williams.
Yay!
And, of course, an author with a disdain for all things he thinks are stupid, including us, Justin McCumber.
I am drinking. I think I'm on my third glass of wine. This is so good.
Are you really?
Uh-huh.
Hashtag drunk Justin.
Not yet. We'll see how we are by the end of the episode.
Can we just call him Fun Justin? Tipsy Justin? What do you want to be?
Hey, I'm always Fun Justin.
Is it mellow? Do you get mellow when you drink?
Yeah. I've never been one of those kind of either angry or rambunctious drunks. Anytime I drink or whatever, I'm real cash.
See, for me, it depends on what you're drinking.
Yes, it does.
Like, if I drink beer, I'm just pretty chill. If I drink whiskey, I get angry.
You do.
And if I drink,
people don't like you.
And if I drink wine, it's just like a mellow. Hey,
Scott turns into a Sons of Anarchy member when he's drinking whiskey, just so you guys know.
Yeah, I get real angry.
And if longtime listeners are wondering why the introductions, because I've heard several times that for new listeners, we don't introduce ourselves as to what our role in the show is. So there you go. We'll do that to help anybody that is new to the show so you know that we're all idiots, really. Remember to review us on iTunes, give us a thumbs up on Stitcher if you listen there, and share the episode with your friends. We appreciate it. Chris Miller and Phil Lord have agreed to return to write The Lego Movie 2. They originally weren't going to be part of it. Now they're coming back. I am giddy because when I heard that they were not going to be part of it, I lost a lot of interest.
You know what it really is?
What?
Awesome! Everything is awesome! How are they going to top that song?
Everything is splendid? No.
You can't just grab a thesaurus and like.
What is
a new
better
song
than awesome? Is there anything better than awesome?
Resplendent.
Is that a word? Is that a real word?
It is a real
effulgent
word.
It doesn't roll off the tongue in a catchy, song kind of way.
Everything is resplendent? Well, are you guys happy? I'm really happy those guys are, even if they're not directing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy they're
I don't
back.
Know why they would even consider not doing it. It was such a success, and it was hilarious.
Because they're rich and busy, and they have other stuff. Maybe 27 Jump Street to work on.
But they want to be richer. Isn't more rich.
More rich. Thank you. You're the teacher, right? You heard that at the beginning? Teacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just keeping it on your toes. Congratulations. Yeah. A+, Aaron.
We have always said that we like Michael Bay. We don't always love Michael Bay. Sometimes we're annoyed by Michael Bay. But we don't have this hipster hate that some people have for this guy. We like explosions. We all like them. Things blow up. And when they blow up good, I like them even more. Well, he is leaving the Transformer franchise to take a more serious toll as he is in talks to direct a Benghazi movie called 13 Hours. I just want to go on record as saying this sounds awful because it's Michael Bay.
Now, is this going to be a MSNBC version of Benghazi or a Fox version of Benghazi? You're going to get a couple different films.
I'm not. Maybe he'll make two. Maybe he would have split the difference.
Yeah, you know, if you're of a more conservative bent, here's your movie. And then, you know, and then on the coasts, we get the other one.
Michael Bay's version, everything blows up at the end. Everything. Including Hillary Clinton. We don't know why, but she just blew up.
I'm looking forward to it just to see what he just – to see what he does to take
a suit. Did you see Pearl Harbor? Everything except the actual attack on Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Hopefully he's grown since then. I mean, if the...
Has he? Has he, though?
If the Transformers movies have taught us nothing, it's that he has evolved as a filmmaker for deep, rich story.
Well, as long as he doesn't turn it into a, romantic story, I'm sure it'll be good.
You know he'll try. He will have some scantily clad Muslim or something. right next to a pickup truck.
Yeah, her elbows are going to be showing.
Come in those tummy additions.
Oh yes, yep. You know he's going to find a way to work that in. Oh yeah. Mark Wahlberg pops up. Why are you here, Mark Wahlberg? I don't know.
Hey, Mark Wahlberg, why are you here?
Did you got the elbows?
Say,
say hello to your mother for me. Oh man. Well, we've got a lot to talk about this week, so we'll get. Oh god, that's too funny. Seriously, Michael Bay. I like Michael Bay a lot. He's do Bad Boys 3. That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
Let John Stewart do a Benghazi movie. That's who I want to see a Benghazi movie from, not Michael Bay. No. Well, hot off bad words, Jason Bateman has found another film to direct and star in called IPO Man. Scott, what is IPO Man about? I think it sounds awesome.
I think it sounds awesome, too. It's actually based on a true story. Apparently, this guy wrote an article in a publication where he literally put himself up for sale for stock. He basically sold shares of himself to people for like a dollar a share with the idea that they can share in any wealth that he accumulates from his venture that he's doing, basically living life and trying to become financially stable and actually more than just stable. And the idea was that they would then all split whatever profits they had based on how much stock they had. It was more like a social experiment than something to really take seriously. But it apparently got a little bit crazy because towards the end of it, people were voting by proxy for specific personal things in his life, like whether or not he should
like his wife or what?
He wasn't married. He had a girlfriend.
Like his girlfriend or what?
Not sharing his girlfriend, sharing in the decisions about his personal life, like whether or not he should get a vasectomy, whether or not he should move in with his live-in girlfriend. So they're like that was being played into part of it, and that's where it started taking the interesting turn, and it actually ruined his relationship. He's actually no longer with his girlfriend anymore
because he got a vasectomy.
No, because of this whole story. And the funny thing is she was actually a minor shareholder as well, which is really funny. So
a minor shareholder.
Anyway, I think this idea sounds awesome. Coming off of Bateman's directorial debut of Bad Words, which was
really good and underseen. Yeah,
it really was. I think this sounds like it seems like right up his alley. It just seems like a perfect idea for him to direct in it and star in it. I can't wait to see it. What about you guys?
I love Jason Bateman. I loved Bad Words. This story doesn't really grab me all that much, but you know, just based on him alone, I'm more than willing to go see it. I don't know. I've got to see a little more, hear a little more before I get excited.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same camp as Justin there. I like Jason Bateman is good. He's got good comedy cred and everything, but I just going off the story, I need to see a trailer.
I think it sounds very. Wow, you guys are just some buzz killers.
Yeah, that's what I am. I'm just a hater.
Yeah, buzz killer, hater.
We just don't get it.
Shit, dude, I almost dropped my wine. Don't do that.
What decisions could they make when they purchase him or purchase stock in him? Do they decide? Do you know?
Well, initially it was just supposed to be the financial aspect of it, and then he expanded it. From that point,
so he allowed it. He said, all
"Oh
right,
yeah, it was okay. Part of it was all part of the deal." And then it got ugly towards the end of it.
Like, well, you know, people are malicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think what we would do if we owned a piece of your ass.
Yeah.
We would turn your life upside down.
Oh, you would be turned out.
You would finally that closet. You come screaming out of it. What about Keanu Reeves? He's finally coming back into the forefront. He's been gone for a few years. I think really. Outside of John Wick, The Day the Earth Stood Still is really the last major wide release he had. Well, he had 47 Ronin. It just didn't do well, I suppose.
Right.
But now he's going to headline another sci-fi movie called Replicas. What is Replicas about?
He's going to be playing a neuroscientist whose family's killed in a traffic accident, and he'll stop at nothing to bring them back, which apparently is going to pit him against a government-controlled laboratory and a police task force. As well as the actual physical laws of science. That's a pretty vague description of what this movie is going to be about. I am going to assume that as a neuroscientist, he is not also a black belt in various martial arts or a skilled marksman. So I don't know how much fighting or combat he'll do, which, you know, he's really primarily known for these days. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a good actor. And I'll explain a bit more when we start talking about John Wick later. But I think he's a talented guy, and I am really glad to see that his career looks to be on an uptick, and I really hope that that continues. Because, you know, for those of us who are film fans, you know, we're aware of 47 Ronin, we're aware of The Man of Tai Chi, and so he's not as been as far off our radar as he has been the mass public. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll embrace him again. You know, just give him a second career. He more than deserves it.
I have to say it, and I like Keanu. I really like Keanu Reeves. I think he's a cool guy. He's very Buddha, very calm. You hear him in interviews, and he seems like a really super nice guy. One of the most modest actors I can think of. Neuroscience is not really what I would see his field to be. So it's kind of, for me, a little bit like Christmas Jones in the Bottom movie.
No, he is much more believable as a neuroscientist than Denise Richards as a nuclear fucking physicist.
I don't know, man.
Come on.
Brian, you with me?
No. Oh, hell no.
Just checking. All right. Well, I'm glad to see him coming back with more films.
And coming more than once a year?
Yeah, more than Santa Claus, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Was that a sex joke, Scotty?
I hope not, because it would be really gross if it was.
It was from the movie.
Christmas Jones.
God damn it. Oh! Now I'm the dumb one.
You sure are.
Still not used to Scotty being fun.
Have you guys seen movies? Like, seriously?
Ooh, look at him. He's on fire.
Ooh, he's throwing shit.
You know what? Why don't I go get some wine? Because I'm just going to sit back and relax. I'm going to let Scott take over. All right. Everybody knows by now that Marvel had an event. It was a little event. It was a little tiny event that they made sure everyone in the world was covering. And for what? 12 hours on a Tuesday, or what was it? Yeah, Tuesday afternoon. You didn't see anything except Marvel tidbits. So we're going to talk about them. We're going to break them down. We're not going to flood you with 45 minutes of talking about this, but we're just going to. What's that?
We could. I hope the listeners are taking in our restraint.
More your restraint, probably, than mine, but. Brian, before we get to that, there was the Avengers Age of Ultron trailer. Why don't you explain what
Which came out about 10 minutes after we stopped recording last week.
It actually came out before, but we didn't have, like, they didn't have the official version. And then Marvel caved and said, oh, it was leaked, so we have to get the real, which I commend them on. Most studios don't do that. You get a leaked trailer and they let that crappy leaked trailer play and everybody's like, well, that looks like crap. I don't want to see that.
And what did they tweet? Damn you, Hydra.
Is that what they said?
Yeah,
really?
Damn you, Hydra. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good sense of humor about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is Avengers Age of Ultron ultimately about?
Well, basically, it's Tony Stark's inventions gone wild, so to speak. So
taking their tops off and...
That's it. You know, lots of nudity. Robot nudity. It's hard to kind of figure out exactly what's going on because especially with this latest little thing where you see everybody kind of sitting around chumming it up a little bit. And then 2 minutes later, everybody's fighting each other. So not sure how that's going to work out.
Well, the way I'm understanding it, right, Tony Stark builds Ultron, right? That's what they're going with. Tony Stark builds Ultron, and Ultron gets... Whatever his AI takes over and decides that he wants to conquer the world because everything has to conquer.
He's built basically an army of these robots that are controlled by an artificial intelligence that he has dubbed Ultron, which I think he based off of Jarvis. And then, of course, as AIs are wont to do in every freaking movie, it goes rogue, and now they have to fight Ultron and all of his, you know, various robotic minions, and it just turns into a huge clusterfuck that Tony kind of started on accident, and now the Avengers have got to stop.
I want to, before you guys go on your fanboy squee, I want to say that as much as I will see the movie opening day, you know, whatever the early show is. I'm excited to see it. But the trailer didn't thrill me as much as it did everybody. Just let me finish. Let me finish before you attack me, before you maul me.
I'm not even the comic book guy.
I liked seeing everything in it. It didn't look as fun as the first one. Now, that could be just because it's not as fresh. And all of the robots flying around reminded me too much of Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2, Mickey Rourke built that whole robot army that goes and attacks Iron Man, and he ends up getting...
Like when they're at the expo and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. These robots look more like Iron Man, though, which harkens to 3. But I see what you're getting at.
Yeah. So I guess for me, it's kind of like, well, I've already seen you defeat this robot army a couple times, really. So I don't get as thrilled about that concept. Now, I know everybody, well, you're just a big hater. You probably like DC. But that's not the case at all. I felt like...
Brian, are you going to take that?
Hey, your impression is spot on.
He was mocking you.
No, I was talking about hipsters. That's what I saw. Go ahead. Beat me.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on over, baby.
It was neat to see some fresh footage of all these characters. And again, the scene where they're playing with Thor's hammer was gave me a chuckle.
Well, that just came out recently, didn't it? That little
trailer.
That's the extra footage of the movie. Yeah.
I'm already excited for it. And it was, like I said, it was neat to see a little bit of extra footage, but just didn't really do a whole lot for me as far as getting me pumped up for the movie. Especially nothing like Guardians of the Galaxy trailer did when it first dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to compare them because the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, while also, you know, while being exciting and all that, it also had a lot of humor in it. A lot. And that was, you know, a good thing because we really needed a Marvel film that didn't take itself so seriously. But in, you know, the original Avengers movie, I think had a lot more humor in it because it was these people just coming together. So you've got all these conflicting personalities. And Joss Whedon is known for having a good comedic touch. This trailer is a lot more grim. It's a lot more dark. And I think that can throw some people off. For me, though, I thought it was absolutely magnificent. I really have to give a special shout out to James Spader and whoever it was that applied the effects to his voice, because it was almost as good as the original trailer that I'd seen for Star Trek Into Darkness, where Cumberbatch does all that speaking in the beginning with just that really heavy tone to his voice. Spader does that here, talking about how all these Avengers are just puppets wrapped up in their own strings and how he doesn't have those strings.
See, I watch Blacklist a lot, so all I kept thinking was, wow, Red's taking over the world.
Yeah, see, I don't watch that, so for me, this is probably the James Spader thing that I will have seen since, God, I can't remember when. But he sounded magnificent. I loved getting to see the Hulkbuster armor, and I'm really curious as to when that's going to come into play. Is that early in the movie? Is it late? Do the Avengers get turned against each other? What's going on? But it is a very dark movie compared to the first one, but I love it. I just absolutely adored seeing the Avengers really put through their paces. And I'm glad that I don't know what Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, what they're still up to in this movie. I hope I go into it with a lot of the stuff still unknown and unspoiled.
I've got 2 points that I kind of want to make. And the first is, you guys got to remember, too, this movie is still like over half a year away.
It's already shot. It's shot.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that they're not going to release the full trailers of everything that we're going to see. Or, you know what I mean? This is a first trailer. I would guess that there's a lot more action stuff that we don't even have a clue what's going on, but they want to do something to get us interested in it. So I'm not going to jump on the didn't impress me bandwagon. I don't even know if that's right. Bandwagon is not the right word.
Well, you really liked it.
I did love it. And the reason the comparison you guys were making with Guardians of the Galaxy and how different it was, but I think they're actually very similar in some respect because both set a specific tone for the film that it was. Guardians of the Galaxy had a very comedic tone. This one has a very almost creepy tone
ominous,
to it.
Very ominous.
That Pinocchio song that they play all super slow with the strings in the background, just, I mean, if I were a kid, that scene would have spooked the crap out of me. It was genuinely creepy, and I loved that that tone was there, because even the first one, like Justin said earlier, was had its very comedic moments. This one looked like it was trying to kind of spin that on its head a little bit by starting out comedic, but turning just insanely dark at the top, at the turn of a hat. And I think he looked awesome. The red eyes, and he just looked like a badass Terminator. And then, I don't know anything about Ultron or the...
You're probably better off
or the Hulkbuster and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I can't wait to see it. The scene with Cap's shield, like, shattered in half, just that shot, like, where they pan over it, just felt super... Man, the shit's going
real.
This is
end of the world shit.
Yeah, this is like what's going to be in Avengers 3? I mean, how much worse can it get?
Well, we're getting there, Scott. We'll tell you in a minute. okay, well, split. I liked it. Brian liked it. We just didn't love it. And you guys are all goo guy.
They are. I tell you what, they are masters. Marvel is at putting together trailers. I don't know if anybody's doing it as well as they're doing it.
Well, I think Brian and I just disagreed with you, but they're good at it. They're very good at it. This doesn't have the same feel as like the original Avengers or Guardians. I feel like I didn't see a whole lot new. And I did. All I saw was a lot of stuff that I've seen in other movies. So, and it's new footage. It's just the same scenes. I've seen giant robot fights. I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen it twice. So
seeing look what looks like cities just laid to waste. You know.
Yeah. Superman could have popped
which
up.
Which is
in
like
this
worst. One. That's right. Yeah. I just agree with you, man. I mean, it's just it's not fresh, and while it is new, it's just not. You know, it's just not. Fresh.
Well, hell, but we've all seen, you know.
Hey, don't.
Hey, you're not paid by Marvel. It's okay. It's
no, right. But what I'm saying is that, you know, I think we've all seen a million World War II movies. That doesn't mean that they should stop making them necessarily if they're going to do it well. We really have no idea.
No. That's,
well, this movie
is
going
to handle. This is another part of the same world where you've already had robot fights in two other movies featuring Iron Man. So it's like a third movie with Iron Man with robot fights. That's what I'm saying. It's the same. There's nothing here that I didn't see in a couple other movies recently. That's all.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Can I ask an honest question?
Sure.
As a guy who has not read any of the comics, who else did Iron Man and the Avengers fight in the comics?
Do you want a list?
I mean, like,
no,
just...
It's too long of a
list. No, I'm not saying an exhaustive list. I mean, did he fight? Were there... Well, lots of robot fights, or was there other type of villains?
Oh yeah, robots. Yeah, they kinds. Fought mystical. They fought gods. They okay. fought other superheroes. I mean, their rogues gallery is long and distinguished.
They fought the man. The man alone is just so many. Now let's talk about their plans. Okay, they finally unveiled their slate of releases. Now we talked about DC's, and we're going to do it the same way we did DC's, which I think is funny. I've heard so many some of the fanboys crack me up. Can anyone explain to me why DC, there's like this little community of people that like DC stuff that hate Marvel and people that like Marvel that hate DC. It's like Apple and Google, and I just don't understand it. Who cares?
Isn't that though the nature of geekdom? I mean, whether it's Nintendo fanboys versus Sony fanboys, or as you said, Google versus Apple, or Apple versus Microsoft. It's just kind of the nature of being a geek that we clan up. You know, we find the thing that we like, and then for some reason we treat it like we're all in some
special club,
and anybody else is a threat to it. I don't partake in that because I love DC and I love Marvel. I can't wait to see both, but it does seem to be an inherent part of geekdom is to do that, and I think it's stupid.
It's really annoying, too.
In my experience, I think what it boils down to is a lot of it coming with nostalgia, you know, whichever one you grew up with the most. And when you're a kid, you can't afford to buy everything like we can when we're adults. Mm-hmm. So if you want to follow a storyline, I mean, I know comic books aren't super expensive, but money was tight when you're a kid. And same thing with, you know, Apple or Google or Xbox and PlayStation or DC and Marvel. You gravitate towards one, and since that's the only one that you can really deal with at that time, that becomes yours. And anything that tells you that the other one is better is just starts a war, and I think it's dumb.
I never had it. I like comic books, so I just like comic books. I didn't really have a side.
Right.
Yep. I bought them all. I mean, not all. I didn't grow up Richie Rich, but I've never really been all that prone to being a fanboy of one particular product or company. It's just kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm. Well, 2016, the first year, that's Captain America Civil War, which Robert Downey Jr., did he committed? He said he's going to be in that movie, right? Yeah, because they came out and they were holding hands or whatever. So Robert Downey Jr. will be there and he's going to swear off against Captain America. So that's true. So that came true. November 4th, 2016, Doctor Strange. Now, Benedict Cumberbatch is rumored, but Kevin Feige was extremely, extremely focused on pointing out that if it's not confirmed here, it's not true yet. So it wasn't confirmed at the event. So he's just in talks. It's rumored.
I think they're just tired of being scooped.
Probably. Yeah,
or
probably.
They got a leak that they really need to address.
May 5th, 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We all knew that was coming out. July 28th, 2017, Thor Ragnarok. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a big character in the Thor universe, Brian?
Well, Ragnarok is the end of the world.
Okay.
It's an event.
It's their apocalypse.
It's not a person. It's a or another god. It's yeah. It's their end of the world. It's their apocalypse.
So. Oh, so that's going to be another. That's going to be a bunch of stuff blown up, most likely.
Yeah, I hope so.
November 3rd, 2017, Black Panther is coming out. Now, Black Panther is going to be introduced in Captain America Civil War, and it was confirmed Chadwick Boseman is going to play Black Panther. Brian, you were really excited about that. Why so much? Is that a big character for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one that Black Panther has been really kind of talked about for a very long time, and I don't think people realize how long. I mean, we're like 10 plus years or so, because he's a relatively easy, especially along, you know, a while back where, you know, we weren't where we are now with the technology and special effects, but he was a relatively easy character to kind of bring into the cinematic world. So, didn't have a whole lot of superpowers. He's very athletic, very agile, stuff like that, but he's not shooting lasers out of his eyes or blowing up, you know, neighborhoods or stuff like that. So, I think he was a member of the Avengers, but he was usually because he is a king from an African tribe or something. Mm-hmm. He spent most of his time there, but he would help out the Avengers, you know, pretty regularly. So he is an interesting character. And when you got Chadwick Boseman, who's just on fire right now with playing every other biopic that he can, it's good to see that he's kind of branching out a little bit.
He's a fantastic actor, and if you saw 42, Scott swears he was fantastic in the James Brown mm-hmm. Get On Up. So I'm really excited with some of the people they cast for these. They've been inspired with some of their casting. I will absolutely give Marvel credit.
And it's just it just gives them so much clout that they're bringing in all this quality talent and not just, you know, hey, it's not so much just about, well, we just want to bring this character in and we can put anybody playing that role. No, they're bringing in quality actors.
We got Marlon Wayans. Can you play in Black Panther?
And I just read today that the Marvel Universe, the cinematic universe, has brought in $7.1 billion. 10 movies.
When I see all this list of movies, you've seen all the pictures splattered all over the internet, just movie after movie after movie, and how much money they've made. I can't wait, especially with next year being 2015. And bear with me, but I can't wait to see the memes all over the internet. There's a scene in Back to the Future 2 mm-hmm. where Marty is walking through 2015 for the first time he's visiting there, mm-hmm. and there's a movie theater. And out of that movie theater pops like a holographic Jaws, and it says Jaws 16 or mm-hmm. something. I can't wait to see the meme that has like Marvel 27 or something. Because 2015, like I'm just like the slew of movies is coming out. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Today I really got to thinking about what Marvel is doing, what DC is doing. And I have to say, I am so impressed. And I am really as a fan of this kind of material. I am so glad that they are putting as much time and attention and forethought into what they're doing in putting these films out. I mean, this is not a haphazard list. There has been, I can only imagine how many years and months of time put into mapping out exactly how this is going to go. And this is something that no film studio has ever even come close to accomplishing. And Marvel's doing it, and now DC's trying to do it too. And as a fan of this stuff, I'm so glad that I'm finally seeing the things I loved as a child given the respect and the money that it needs to come to the big screen and not be done just haphazardly, but with forethought and attention to detail. I am ecstatic.
On May 4th, 2018, Avengers Infinity War Part 1. That's the big Thanos. That's the massive one everybody's looking forward to, because Thanos gets all of the Infinity Stone or gems, whatever. And apparently he's going to destroy the entire universe because they get tired of cities. They get tired of worlds. Now we're going to blow up
the universe. You can only blow up so many cities. Now you got to start blowing up planets.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert, by the way. Just you know how Age of Ultron ends.
Yeah. July 6, 2018, Captain Marvel. And that's Kevin Feige reiterated that is the female version. So
thank God.
That is going to be, I think, Carol something or other. I don't know her last name. We don't hang out. So it's Captain Marvel. That's coming out then. So we're going to get our first female Marvel lead. I think that's fantastic. It's
Carol
about time.
Danvers, by the way.
Danvers?
For the okay. Danvers.
Got it. Danvers. Okay.
Danvers.
November 2nd, 2018, The Inhumans, which is kind of a... Is that the Fantastic Four spinoff, right? Isn't that what that is?
I know nothing about The Inhumans, really.
Well, I think it's fantastic.
They really have tie-ins with the Avengers, the X-Men, Fantastic Four. They might have been introduced with the Fantastic Four. I'm not real sure, but they really have tie-ins with everybody.
Okay. And May 3rd, 2019, the final film on the slate, Avengers Infinity War Part 2. So that's a two-parter. It comes out a year after the first one.
I tell you, I posted a trailer or a teaser on the Ho Facebook page that was a part of the announcement, and I got goosebumps because they were going through, you know, with different narration from different characters talking about, you know, these things that have existed since before the universe and things you thought were myth or real, and then you get that reveal of Thanos with that Infinity Gauntlet. Again, that's what I think really made me realize just how far thinking Marvel has been with this and really made me appreciate what they've been putting together.
And I promise you, those that are listening, they're like, oh, I'm so sick of hearing about comic book. We're not going to be talking about comic books for a couple weeks because I think we've had enough between DC and Marvel. We have enough to get us ready, I think. Scott, you had one more point?
Yeah, there is... I find it really interesting that we have very specific dates for the next 5 years.
You have to almost. Otherwise, somebody else is going to take them.
Well, right. But, I mean, that's like a ballsy move. I mean, that's just.
That one, I'm not. That's not ballsy. That's how the studios are doing things now. I think you have to have established dates. Otherwise, some other studio is going to take those dates and you lose prime spots. So they're just securing real estate.
Right. But my point is we always talk about these news topics about, oh, this movie got pushed back, and they've got a list. They're going to be stocked full for the next.
Yeah, but make no mistake. If any of these things start flopping, that list will change.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you. If the Avengers 2 made $8, you won't see Infinity War. They'll be like, we changed our mind on that. Sorry, our bad.
If Guardians didn't flop, I don't foresee that it being even a remote possibility.
Well, I don't foresee it, but there's a chance
the
ones
more movies you make, the more opportunities you have to have one flop. It's just, I mean, the more you roll the dice and do that kind of stuff, it's. I'm not saying it's bound to happen. I'm not saying Avengers 2 will flop, but Aaron's right. There is, you know, there is that chance that one of these may not do well, and then you may see a reshuffling and say, okay, well, you know, we wanted Captain Marvel, but you know, it looks like this people are not caring about this character so much. So let's bring in, you know, another obscure character. So
all I know is Marvel has to be casting spells or making prayers or whatever that none of their cast gets sick, gets hurt,
that's
or
true.
That some tsunami doesn't wipe away some set they've built. Because I think that's part of what Scott was talking about, is that when you've got these dates set this far out, there's so many things that can go wrong between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I want to change is the oversaturation, and it's not Marvel's fault, because Marvel, they held their press event. That's all they're doing. But all the random speculation consuming my news feed and everything else every single day with all of these rumors and casting. I realize it's popular, but it's having the reverse effect. It is actually burning me out on yep. movies that I am excited about.
That's yeah, why absolutely. I don't go to book sites.
No, but you can't. You can't avoid it.
Yeah, you can't avoid it.
Sure, it's, I can. I don't go to those sites.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I'm serious. I limit the sites that I go to for movie news, really, to two.
It's
and I don't even check those every day. If mostly it's stuff that pops up in the Hollywood Outsider Facebook page is what I see more than websites. So, you do the website stuff.
What's that website, Justin?
TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Nice. Very, very well put, Scott. Well, that's enough, Marvel. I think we have covered it. It's going to be an exciting few years if you're a Marvel fan or a DC fan, either one. If you're a comic book fan, these are good times for you because you're finally seeing good movies being made of the things you love.
All right, folks, so we have only got two films we're going to be discussing this week, and both of them look pretty damn good. So let's go ahead and get started. For November 7th, first up, Interstellar. Now, this is directed by Christopher Nolan and written by Christopher Nolan and Jonathan Nolan. Stars Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, and Jessica Chastain. As a group of explorers make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations of human space travel and conquer the vast distances involved in an interstellar voyage. Apparently, the Earth is going tits up. We got to find a new place to trash. Matthew McConaughey is going to lead the way. All right, all right. Scotty, what do you think about this one?
Hey, guys, I'm not going to be able to record next week.
You're going to be going to see the IMAX?
I'm
going to
be a little busy. When we record next week, I can't wait for this film. This has been one of my most anticipated for the year. I've been purposely avoiding even TV spots for this now just because I don't want to see anything more on it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every trailer is just showing a little bit more that I don't want to see. Just yep. stop it.
Don't read reviews because I swear there's going to be people that are accidentally spoiling
it. I will not read yeah. anything on this movie. I'm not even
until you see it. Then, of course, come read whatever whoever does our review.
Oh, absolutely. So are you as stoked as I am, Aaron?
I'm stoked. I'm I'm nervous. I'm nervous because
long.
Yeah, it's like almost 3 hours long, and it seems like it's going to be one of those films that's trying to be very cerebral, which I'm looking forward to. But those are all, I mean, history, and I realize Nolan has a different historical record than most directors. But historically speaking, whenever a film tries to be too cerebral, it usually has too many metaphors. Or it's too heavy on metaphor as opposed to just creating a film that can breathe and create an experience. And I want more of an experience. I don't want something where I have to process everything that's coming at me and have to devote hours to dissecting it and everything else. So I'm trying to temper expectations because I know that I have certain expectations mm-hmm. and that's hindering my excitement because I'm trying to lower those expectations so I go in and can just enjoy whatever it is the movie ends up being. If that makes any sense.
Not really. Brian?
Yeah, it's like Scott, it's one of the ones I've been waiting for quite a while, especially after started learning a little bit more about it. I love the shot of what looks like a wave that would dwarf the something from The Perfect Storm there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coming at them. So,
those are mountains. That's a wave.
So I'm really curious about that aspect of it. So, of course, it's got McConaughey. I'll watch just about anything with him in it. And it being something like this type of material led by the Nolans, this has just got to be a win all around.
Now, do you think if somewhere in this movie, a very serious movie, a thinking piece, so to speak, McConaughey throws out his trademark, all right, all right, all right, would that take you out of it at all?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I hope that doesn't happen.
It'd be so funny, though.
Like if he lands on the perfect paradise planet, all right, all right, all right.
A bunch of high school girls.
Oh, man.
Hope you brought your wood screws. All right, folks. Next up, we have got Big Hero 6. This is directed by Don Hall and Chris Williams. It stars the vocal talents of Ryan Potter, Scott Anst, Jamie Chung, and really the only Damon Wayans Jr., T.J. Miller, and Maya Rudolph, and James Cromwell, and Alan Tudyk. Well, there are names on here I do know. Very good. The special bond that develops between plus-sized inflatable robot Baymax and prodigy Hiro Hamada, who team up with a group of friends to form a band of high-tech heroes based on a Marvel property that I have never heard of in my life, but that doesn't freaking matter. Brian, are you ready for the Big Hero 6?
I think the trailer does look good. It does look like it's a little bit more interesting than what I kind of anticipated whenever I first see, all right, well, it's a kid with a robot type of deal. But, you know, the little scene where it shows his, you know, it looks like he's drunk, but I guess his batteries are low or something like that. I mean, that had me cracking up.
Very baby.
And the scene with the tape and the leaking air whistling. I mean, that's just so, it just goes on and you're like, and that just gets funnier the longer it goes.
Yep. So. Where he's like chasing around a soccer ball. I don't know. That's just a dumb little thing. It makes me laugh every time I see it. It looks so good. I can't wait. I'm stoked.
I'm surprised how much I want to see an animated movie.
Yeah.
Because there's very few of them that grab me anymore. And I'm really pumped to see this. I think it looks great. And it looks like fun for not just the whole family, but adults and kids on their own. Mm-hmm. If they decide to go on their own.
All my kids are talking about it at school.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, and really, it's the perfect counter programming to Interstellar. I mean, on the one hand, you've got this really kind of heavy, thoughtful science fiction film. And then on the other hand, you've got this really colorful and silly science fiction film. But they are kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think that that's going to help one from cannibalizing the other's audience.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Yeah, I want both of them to succeed. They both look very good.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, of these two films, Interstellar and Big Hero 6, which one are you most likely to see, Brian?
Both, but definitely going to see Interstellar first.
Scotty?
My sentiments exactly.
Aaron?
Ditto.
There you go. Same thing.
All right. Interstellar it is. Please don't let us down. Please.
Well, we all agreed on two movies at the same time.
Look at that.
Look at that.
We're just going to have to... All right. Who wants to be the first one to change their pick? We can't have the stand. We just can't. Box office. Ouija or Ouija, it's actually referred to as Ouija in the commercial. I do want to point that out. They actually say Ouija in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, kids are dumb.
And it is accepted as both. So once when we both corrected Scott a couple weeks ago, we're still right, technically. But it opened to number one with $19.8 million. Surprise just about everybody.
Yeah.
It's doing very well, but it's a horror movie. It'll drop fast.
Yeah, who would have thought a horror movie in October? How would that have earned money?
Horrible reviews.
Marketing geniuses.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, horrible reviews, though. I was actually going to see it for the show, and I changed my mind. So I didn't see it. I apologize, everyone, but I'm sure you'll forgive me. John Wick slaughtered everyone on his way to number two with $14.4 million. Actually, a little better than I thought. They were forecasting 7 or 8 million. Actually, the great reviews, not just good, great reviews, helped sell it. Brad Pitt is still holding in at number three. He's pissed off, as always, with Fury.
He's not quite as mad as we thought.
Yeah, not quite as mad. 13.3 million, 46.4 million total. It's doing very well. Gone Girl is like that psychotic ex that you can't get rid of because she's still hanging around. Number four. At $11 million for $124 million total. That movie is huge. It's like
Is this Fincher's biggest total to date?
It is by now. By the time you listen to this, it is his biggest movie, yes. Surpassing, I think, Benjamin Button. Let's see here. Number five, The Book of Life.
Shows that Americans full of racists.
Dropped to 10. I don't think so. It's holding okay. $10 million for a $30 million total. You know, it's going to get stomped by Big Hero 6. So better...
30 for a kid's movie? I mean, those things are almost licenses to print money.
The last animated movie, the book Box Trolls, only did about the same.
Yeah, but that's claymation. That's yeah.
You're right. It's better to just think that everyone's a racist.
That's right.
Jesus. Fucking liberal. St. Vincent, by the way, opened at number 6 with 7.7 million. It did okay. It's not doing great. It's
that
not
seemed like you never. That seemed like it wasn't marketed until like that weekend.
I saw trailers for it everywhere. I don't did watch you? Commercials, so I don't know what was on TV.
But I'm shocked it came out in theaters, actually. Yeah, it looks too. Like something that should have gone
video under
straight there. To yeah, download. Yeah.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener-suggested clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, you email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Next week, we'll give you a proper host shout-out. Last week's answer, it was Brian's pick, and he picked Suicide Kings, and I didn't think anybody would get it. I was wrong. Shane Owens, John D. Robinson, John Davenport.
Shane Owens.
Amy Hutchinson, and Steve Peterson, who also wanted me to let you guys know that he still refers to it as a busket, like a bucket as a busket, apparently.
I don't talk to Amy anymore. She gave me a lip.
She did. Maybe you should shut your hole. Stop trying to give compliments while slamming others.
I'm telling you.
This week it is Justin Stern. If you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here's your clip.
Convince them that you should be treated medically.
In a hospital. I believe that'd be good for you. But the authorities want to put you with the general population.
Prison's a prison.
Ah, yes. But the difference is, down there, you'd be eaten alive.
All right, let's go to reviews. First up, we've got two this week. One is a speed review. Missionary, Scott, what is Missionary about? Please tell me it's something from Cinemax.
How appropriate is this for Scott?
Yeah, this one got thrown at me.
On so many levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evil Jesus lover.
And you know what's funny is that wasn't even touched on that heavily in this movie. Like I was
the tagline is Mormons love forever or something. It's kind of a really creepy tagline. I don't know.
Yeah, and that plays very, very lightly in it. But here's the story. Catherine is a struggling mother who's having difficulty juggling between a parent life and her husband has cheated on her and the two of them have separated. She meets this Mormon by the name of Kevin Brock and they start sleeping together almost immediately. Like,
Is he trying to sell her on being a Mormon?
Yes.
Is this how they do it?
That's what's kind of funny.
That's how they do it now?
They're, you know.
Do it. Yep, literally.
So anyway, they start hooking
up. Oh, the missionary's a double meaning. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Missionary you know what position they're using? Yeah. Not doing it doggy style. Anyway, so several encounters. They start hooking up on a regular basis. Catherine decides, you know, she's done and she needs to go back and try to work things out with her husband. Elder Brock, as he's known in the movie.
Elder Brock?
Elder, because he's an elder. He doesn't take the news well and decides that he'll stop at nothing to convince her to be with him. He goes to beyond creepy lengths to do so, and it ends in pretty disturbing fashion. Here's what I liked about the movie. I thought that I was really refreshed by the production, considering the budget. It looks a lot better than what was put into
it. It's an independent film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is an independent film. It's not anything that you'll see in wide release. But the quality of filmmaking was really quite good. I didn't feel like I was watching an independent film, if that makes sense. I also didn't feel like I was watching lower-level actors. I felt like I was watching quality actors that I just didn't recognize. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've never heard of this guy. He's a really good actor. And it was really good setup for the film. But on the flip side, there just wasn't enough setup in the plot for why this guy is going crazy or why he's doing the things that he's doing. I understand that.
Could it be because he's Mormon?
What's that?
Could it be because he's Mormon?
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping
for.
So
they don't touch on the religion at all?
No, really? other than the fact that he's this devout Mormon, there's no story about anything with the religion affecting his head or any abuse as a child, or there's literally nothing. You see some backstory about another situation that he had similar to this one, but there's still no reason for it. And I understand that, you know, the idea of he's just crazy is a thing, and that's worked in some other films, but it didn't work in this one for me. I feel like it was missing some rationale for it. His decisions made no sense in the grand scheme of making a relationship work. It just made me kind of roll my eyes and made it really hard to take the final act seriously, no matter how intense it got. But I still saw some value in it. If $10 were the full price of admission, I would pay $5.
Okay. Makes me want to be a Mormon. Because apparently, you get to score.
Certain things are okay.
I like that as a sales pitch. Instead of coming to your door and giving you a pamphlet.
Just show up with a candy cane. That's it.
Justin, you and I both saw John Wick, which I would dare say is quite the surprise. Why don't you tell us about John Wick? Light it up, so to speak.
To yeah, steal your like own joke. Scandal, as I said on Facebook. Mm. Technically, this movie has two directors, David Leitch and Chad Stahelski. From what I understand, Mr. Stahelski did most of the directing, with David Leitch directing a lot of the second unit stuff. But what's interesting is that Chad Stahelski and David Leitch are both former stuntmen. And in fact, Stahelski is the man who stood in for Keanu Reeves during all three of the Matrix films, as well as another one. So he's been with Reeves for a long time, but now he's stepping up into the director's chair, and he gets a chance now to direct Keanu as opposed to just taking all the punches. But this film does star Keanu Reeves, as I said. It also stars Alfie Allen, who I just could not look past his Game of Thrones character. Every time he was on screen, that's all I could see. But it also stars Willem Dafoe, Adrian Palicki, and Michael, I think it's Nequist?
Is that how you say your name, Palicki?
I think so. I think so. Palicki?
That's what I would go with.
We'll go with Palicki.
I thought it was Palicki.
This was a banner week for her, because both she's in this movie and she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she was having a good week. But an ex-hitman comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters that took everything from him. And by everything, we mean a car and a dog. And I tell you what, after all the scenes with that dog, when they killed it, I would have killed those motherfuckers. But let's get into this.
I got to tell you, I know you're going to finish something. I'm sorry to cut you off. I do want to say, people are going to assume that that's a really stupid, cheesy, cliche, dumb plot. It actually worked. I was surprised.
It could not be further from that.
Yeah, I was shocked at that. Because I went in with the same impression. I'm like, this is going to be, that part of the movie is going to be dumb. Because his dog.
The opening of the film sets up that John Wick, played by Keanu Reeves, that his wife has recently passed away due to an illness that they don't name. It looks like cancer, but she has died. And after her funeral, there is a delivery and the dog arrives with this really beautiful note. And I have to say, the acting that Keanu Reeves, that performance while he read that note and had that dog, I almost was weeping in the theater.
I was too. I really was moved by it. And I even though I kind of made fun of him earlier, just for not being a rocket scientist, but I think he gets a lot of flack for his acting to a degree. I mean, people always make fun. Whoa. You know, how many times have you heard that joke? He did a really good job. I thought, you know, there are moments, especially in the beginning, where he has to be a man who's broken and he weeps openly because of his wife and her illness and her passing. And I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job of really bringing that pain of a husband who's lost his wife to the screen. And, you know, being a married man as I am and you are, I can't help but put myself in those same shoes. And the performance he gave, I probably would have been weeping much the same, especially with the delivery of that dog and the note she leaves with him. It's beautifully done. Mm-hmm. And I think that it really sets up the revenge aspect of this film much more strongly than I thought it would have, just based on trailers and speculation.
Here's what I think works great. They do, and I know we're not going to spend 45 minutes on John Wick, but I do want to tell you guys, go see it. It's really good, and it sounds dumb. It's one of those movies where it just sounds dumb. But the action was fucking fantastic. Like, you do fist pumps in the theater, that kind of thing. Some of the story aspects I really love. Before they get to where John Wick actually starts getting his revenge, because it's about 30 minutes of setup, right? Just like every other action movie. But they do this thing with the bad guys where everybody knows his name. and everybody is afraid of it. You know, when somebody brings in the car that was stolen, they're like, whose car is that? John Wick's. Oh, shit. You know, when the
get that thing the fuck out of here.
The mobster finds out it's John Wick, and he tells a story about what, you know, explaining what a badass he is. There's all this buildup to him as this basically a boogeyman, a violent boogeyman. And so by the time you get to the part where he gets his revenge, you're already kind of thinking, I'm afraid of this guy. This guy's a badass. I can't wait to see what he does. Now, that's the moment where if the action scenes don't pan out, that's where you walk away from the movie. Because you're like, fuck this movie. I just had all this hype that he's going to be this badass, and he sucked. He is a badass. At 50 years old, this guy moves quicker than most people I've seen. Like, there are some fantastic fight scenes in this movie.
Well, and you'd only expect that given that the film is directed by two guys who come from the stunt world. But, you know, one of the things that I mentioned when we reviewed that Michael Jai White film, Falcon Rising, was that the fights with the guns, it seemed like the gun was just an extension of that character. And when he shot, it was, you know, close to the chest. It wasn't just running around corners with the, you know, your arm fully extended. The same thing here. I mean, the gun work is amazing and the shots are precise. And it's just this flowing movement from one to the other. I mean, he is shooting fuckers left and right. And it looks amazing. It sounds fantastic. And what really struck me, though, is you can definitely see the influence of the UFC style of fighting now. Because where it used to be all kicks and punches, there's lots of grappling in this film. Lots of on the ground grappling, and it really was cool.
And him, he just moves like a snake, man. He just slithers throughout a scene, and it looks great. And he moves so fluidly; it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's really good. Now, what did you think of this being a first time director's film? Did you think it looked like a first time director's movie? And the rest of the production, it was. What did you think?
Not at all. Like I said, the action moves great. The first half of the movie, the buildup is very well executed. I had a problem in the second half, not with anything that Keanu Reeves is in. He is so good in the movie. Whenever he's off screen, and especially after that first half, the movie comes to a screeching halt for me because all I want to do is see him again. He's great, everything he does, which surprised me, wasn't expecting it. But unfortunately, that second half, that's where you see a little bit of these guys haven't done a full movie before because they could have tightened that up quite a bit. They keep doing the boogeyman thing throughout the movie when they should have just stopped in the first half. That part kind of wore me out a little bit. But the action scenes are so exciting, it's hard to really say that that's a problem. You know what I mean?
Did you like the subtitling?
Yes, I did. I liked, and he's very well spoken in German, or was it Russian? Sorry.
In Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the subtitles aren't as
distracting.
They're not as interesting as what I saw in, what was it, Night Watch?
Mm-hmm.
Where the subtitles were almost an extension of the dialogue and the visuals, but they still definitely stood out. And I really enjoyed it. It almost gave it a little bit of a comic book aspect.
It does. And to explain to people, they accentuate certain words so that, you know, to focus on these words, that sort of thing.
That's, right. Cause it's all about Russian mafia.
Yeah.
Fuck, can I talk? And so they speak in Russian. You mm-hmm. know, who would have thought?
Quite
and they,
often.
Of course, have to subtitle all that. And they do a really good job of that, except for the State Farm or Allstate guy. What commercials does he do?
Allstate.
Where he's like, I'm a teenage girl, or I'm a raccoon. Oh,
Dean Winters.
Yeah.
Dean Winters. That's not Allstate. That's, who's that guy? Mayhem, right? Isn't that his?
Yeah. Anyway, he's in this, and he does a really good job. But one of the things he constantly is doing is he's saying, speak English.
So funny.
All right, well, I think we've probably gone on too long. All in all, what'd you think? What would you score it?
All in all, fun, super fun action movie. I did have a problem in the second half but I had an issue in the second half because every time Keanu's off screen, it does grind to a screeching halt. But if $10 is the full price of admission, $7.
Yeah, I got to give this one an 8. Thoroughly entertaining. If you want to see a good, well put together action movie, you will not go wrong in heading out to the theater and checking it out. And I really hope a lot of people do. I'd like to see Keanu really score a huge hit with this and maybe do more of this, you know, not more of the same, but continue to have that career rise.
Absolutely. Let's go to Blu-ray and video on demand, Scotty.
We're looking at releases that are coming out on November 4th. First up, we've got three films and one TV series. Maleficent, which Aaron and Justin reviewed on episode 144. Aaron gave it a 650, Justin gave it an 850. That's where Angelina Jolie is playing the iconic Disney villain. Hercules, Aaron gave it $6 on episode 151. Having endured his legendary 12 labors, Hercules, the Greek demigod, has his life as a sword for hire tested when the king of Thrace
mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
and his daughter seek his aid in defeating a tyrannical warlord.
And let me reiterate that all the 12 labors happen in the first 15 minutes. Fucking movie. It still was fun, but that pissed me off.
A most wanted man. Is it Chechen? Muslim?
I don't live there, man. Chechen,
yes, sure.
Chechen Muslim illegally immigrates to Hamburg where he gets caught in the international war on terror. It's a new one on me.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Mm-hmm. And then Newsroom, season 2 is going to finally be on disc. I may have to pick that one up. I love that show. We do also have a couple on video on demand. The first one is called A Merry Friggin' Christmas, which I kind of half expected to be like a Family Guy Christmas special, but it's not. On November 7th, Boyd Mitchler and his family must spend Christmas with his estranged family of misfits. Upon realizing that he left all his son's gifts at home, he hits the road with his dad in an attempt to make the 8-hour round trip before sunrise. I think it sounds hilarious. And they cast Lauren Graham, Robin Williams, Joel McHale, Jeffrey Tambor, Candace Bergen, and Oliver Platt. That just sounds something right up my alley.
Yep, I want to see it.
Definitely want to see that. And then lastly, Jezebel also comes out on November 27th for video on demand.
November 7th, not 27th.
Did I say 27th?
You sure did.
I apologize. Returning to her childhood home in Louisiana to recuperate from a horrific car accident, Jezebel comes face to face with a long tormented spirit that has been seeking her return and has no intention of letting her escape.
Do they ever? Do they ever? Why don't they make them
ever go?
I give up.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Tired.
I'm so tired. You're not worth it.
Well, with that, we'll move on to the segment of our show where we like to have a little fun. Each week we talk about entertainment, but we also like to try our hand at being entertaining. Those who've listened to us for quite a while will remember segments like Recast Nick Classics and Flashbacks. Rather than do every one each week, we decided to alternate for each episode. This week, we decided to go with The Ho-Off, where one of our four of us comes up with a popular movie, and we go round robin quoting lines from the movie. Each person has 3 seconds to quote a line. If not, they're eliminated, and we go around until there is only one winner remaining. This week, it's my turn, and I'm going to go with Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, shit. Which order are you going in?
We're
going
to start with Brian. We're going to go to Justin, and then we're going to go to Aaron.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
It's just a flesh wound.
I soiled my armor. I was so scared.
Spam, spam, spam. Is that in that one?
No.
Shit, I'm out. Juice cut.
Oh, I'm in.
You're still in it.
Oh, okay. Oh shit! I wasn't prepared. I thought it.
Not anymore.
Yep. Not out, bitch.
I'm out. I wasn't prepared. I thought I was officiating.
And they weren't prepared either, but they came up with something. Brian, whoops. Your turn.
We are the knights that say nick.
Big sharp pointy teeth.
It's a swallow.
African or European?
They're still going.
Shit.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Hey, Justin won.
Yay.
Congratulations.
I get to win one. Camelot, it's a silly place.
I love that movie. Perhaps you built this large wooden badger.
Oh, now you come up with them.
Well, I didn't think I had to. I thought I was sitting here counting seconds. I wasn't.
I want you to chop down a tree with a herring.
I saw it once, and it was a long time ago. So
oh, really?
I had nothing.
I love
and
that.
And all I remember is Monty Python. Spam, spam, spam.
Hang zoom.
Spam? Wasn't Spam like the actual TV show one?
Spam, no, spam, yeah, Spam was spam. In Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Although they did, although Spam-a-Lot was... Was Spam-a-Lot in there? No, that was a song from the TV show.
Does it make me
they did a Broadway version.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It's called Spam-a-Lot.
Mm-hmm. Am I a horrible person because I'm not a huge Monty Python fan?
No, I mean, it's...
Oh, there's so many reasons why you're a horrible person, but this is one of them.
It's, I will say it's the only Monty Python movie that I really like. I think I tried watching Life of Brian, and I just didn't – it wasn't nearly as funny to me.
But at the end of it, when he's on that cross singing Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Look on the bright side of life.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's too funny.
And for everybody listening out there, you're welcome for getting that stuck in your head.
All right, you guys ready to go to our topic this week?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
All right, we're going to talk about space, the final frontier. Now, just movies or shows set in space do not count. We are talking about space exploration. That means no Star Wars, Guardians of the Galaxy type films. We're talking solely about space exploration in film and television. Those who truly were trying to find out what's really out there. So how do you guys prefer your space exploration? Do you prefer it realistically portrayed, kind of like Contact does? Or doused in fiction like Star Trek or Alien?
Well, calling Contact.
Even. Allegedly.
Allegedly. You know, I want them to go realistic, but they so often make mistakes or they have to bend the rules anyway to make it work. I mean, even with Contact, written by Carl Sagan, he did his best to use the science and the math that, you know, if wormholes did exist, maybe this is a way you could use it. But even then, there was so much science fiction put into it that it lost a lot of its truth, what would you call it, truthiness. So I kind of prefer that they just go fictional. If you want to pepper in some realism along the way, that's fine. But just give in. Because the truth of space travel is ultimately fucking boring. I mean, it would take 6 months to get from here to Mars. Nobody's going to watch a movie where it takes 6 months to get there. So just be fictional, man. That's my favorite way to go.
It takes 6 months? I watched Mission to Mars. They got there really quick.
Yeah, they sure did.
Oh, all right.
Well, I mean, seeing as how we aren't really going out to other galaxies and solar systems and all that stuff to check out other planets in person. I mean, every one of these movies has a certain amount of fiction, of science fiction. And you have to kind of toss out a little bit of the, if not a lot, of actual physics and everything. Because, I mean, we can't do it. So you have to throw it out somewhat. I do like it grounded in the realism, though. But when you're talking about another planet, moons, asteroid belts, stars, all that stuff, you know, you gotta go with the imagination out there.
See, I guess I'm alone in this. I kind of prefer the realistic portrayals. I mean, I understand that the science and the math and all that kind of stuff is goofy and in Contact, but I like thinking about it really happening.
More than Kirk banging green bitches?
Yeah. I mean, I really do. I mean,
well, why are you going to explore space if you ain't going to bang green bitches? Isn't that the whole reason we go out to these stars?
That's a very excellent point.
But in Star Trek and Star Wars and Guardians and all that kind of stuff, that stuff is already there. It's like the science and the technology is already there. I like seeing the movie where you kind of get to see a little bit of the backstory of that and how we got to where we're getting and the first Contact stories and how we got to where that stuff is the norm. You know what I mean? I feel like my imagination
flying off in his Phoenix.
Yeah. I feel like my imagination runs wilder when I consider the possibility of actual exploration and meeting life not on this planet. You know what I mean? Like what that would be like to experience that for the first time. Like Star Trek First Contact, that whole story was based around the first time that aliens met humans and mm-hmm. what that experience is like to be. I mean, you only saw that for a brief second at the end, but the whole, that's what excites me is those first moments when and if that stuff happens. You know, I mean, the really cool stuff is, it seems like that's what most of science fiction movies are about. We've already got the high-tech weaponry, and we've already got this, the spaceships that can travel at warp speed and all that kind of stuff. I'm more interested in seeing...
You want to watch him build the warp drive?
Yeah. I'm interested in the destination.
Destinerny.
I was trying to combine two words. Destination.
Are those new Muppets?
I'm just as interested in the destination as I am the journey.
That makes
sense.
Let
me reverse that. I'm just as interested in the journey as I am the destination.
Gotcha. Thank you. I got him now. I was a little confused.
Destinerny.
I really am open to anything as long as it's entertaining. I do prefer the realistic approach, I guess, the scientific approach as opposed to like Star Trek. Because I'm kind of with Scott. Those to me, you can just throw those in with Star Wars. If I see something where it already has the technology and it already has the aliens and everything, I want that to be like a fun adventure. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give me something that's a little bit more serious, a little bit more dramatic, and you really want to pique my interest into what's really out there, that has to be based in some kind of reality. Because that really hits my inner child, I guess, where I have those feelings myself. I have those thoughts. I want to know what is up there. You know, what is out in the furthest reaches of the galaxy and the furthest reaches of space? And when you see the movies where the worlds are already fully realized, it just doesn't have as much of an impact to me, personally.
But if you're talking realistically speaking, in order to get out to those far reaches, what you would see would end up looking more like Star Trek than anything, because the distances involved and the energy required, it is so monumental. Something like what Interstellar is doing with this wormhole thing, mm-hmm, is probably going to be much more likely to be real than just about anything, because it's what's required just to get to the nearest star, which is 4 light years away. It would take it would break every company in the world to build the craft necessary to do it.
How do we know that? Is that like on Google Maps?
You can guess there is. You can go look it up.
And they actually have the satellite picture.
From here to Alpha Centauri. Turn left and you got a few trillion kilometers to go.
So, Brian, is it just the unknown that you think appeals to the masses with this? Or is it a belief that there has to be something else out there?
Well, it is the unknown. I mean, it's really probably both. There is, we are right now, it's almost like, hundreds or even thousands of years ago when you couldn't really go too far offshore. People in Europe had no idea, for the most part, had no idea about the Americas or Australia or, any of these other places, the Far East. So, they just couldn't, because they didn't have the technology and the everything to get there. And it's kind of like us. We don't have the capabilities to get out where we want to go. We're working there and working towards that and everything. So there is that curiosity of what's out there. Does the universe stop? Does it have an ending point? Does it go on forever? And, and of course, I think most people pretty much believe that there is something else out there. It's just, there's just so much stuff out there. Surely there's somebody else. So I think it's a little bit of both.
How do these film, and this is an honest question, please nobody mock anything, how do those kinds of films affect people who are deeply religious? Is it, and I'm religious, but I wouldn't say that I'm deeply religious, but in terms of, do you think people that are extremely devout see these the same way that someone who isn't devout would?
No. And I can tell you from personal experience that at least in the environment that I grew up in, as you guys know, a little volatile, but,
very religious. Very
they,
religious.
In certain faiths, in the Christian faiths, they believe that we are the only life out there. Mm-hmm. They believe, and then we always say, "Well, what it seems like an awful waste of space?" To quote Contact, right? Mm-hmm. Why all this space? And they hold truth to a verse in the Bible that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." Basically, the whole purpose of all that space is to give glory to God. That is literally what they believe.
Okay. And we're not knocking. It was an honest question. Just curious.
Unless the aliens come with, you know, the, what is it, what they're called, the lighthouse?
The lighthouse.
The lighthouse. I don't even know.
That Jehovah's Witnesses, what is that pamphlet that they hand out?
I don't think there's aliens.
Oh, the watchtower?
The watchtower.
Yeah, the watchtower. If aliens come with a watchtower pamphlet, maybe they'll get some fans. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not a religious person, so I have no idea what, how they would react. I would assume it would be bad. But, you know, there are a lot of believers out there who also believe in all the glories of science and technology, and that would welcome, you know, the non, I would say the non-literalists would probably be a lot more welcoming of another intelligent life out there than those who take the Bible at its word. But you can't just say just Christians either. It would be almost every religion in the world would be shaken to its foundation if intelligent life was found elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they never heard of Jesus.
I wonder sometimes how people see these kinds of movies, because they are close to, you know, they're fictional to a degree, but they're realistic to a degree. And there's a lot of subtle truths to it, because you look up and you know that there's more up there. So when you see this universe that's being created fictionally, you know, how much of that affects you to think, well, maybe there is something, you know, a couple light years away, mm-hmm. and whatnot. It's just always interesting to me. For me personally, the reason why I like these kinds of films, space exploration, is because they speak, like I said earlier, to my inner child. I've always wanted to, you know, who hasn't wanted to get in a spaceship, go up to space and see what is it out there? What does it look like? Make sure that the moon is real, because, you know, they might have faked that moon landing. We don't know. No, I mean, to actually get that visual for ourselves and see what it looks like, to feel like we're the first ones that we know to actually go into space, that kind of thing really appeals to, I think, a lot of people. And, you know, just to see it represented is just something to behold. Mm-hmm. I think we all want to see that. Have you guys ever watched one of these and had to actually shut it off because it was way too far-fetched?
I racked my brain to try to think of one, and this type of movie totally intrigues me. So even if it's not a movie that scratches that itch for me, I always wind up finishing it, except for in one case. And that was one you mentioned earlier, Mission to Mars. I think I got like halfway through that movie and I don't even
care what the mission is anymore.
I really felt bored in that movie. I couldn't even tell you what I didn't like about it. I just remember not liking it enough to not finish it. That's really the only one I can think of.
Pretty sure Val Kilmer felt bored making it too.
I paid to go see it, so I was sitting through it.
Did you like it?
It was all right. I didn't hate it as much as that movie tends to raise the ire in a lot of people, and I don't hate it, but I mean, it's not one of those like, oh my gosh, you got to watch this movie. It's so great. You know, I mean, it was one of those, it was entertaining. It was worth the cost of admission, and you know, it was entertaining. You know, it was what it was. It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible either. I was fine with it.
I think the only movie where I actually, well, there was two of them that I had to snort because it was so stupid. There was a scene in Stargate where they have this, like this plexiglass map, apparently of the fucking universe. Because when the gate opens, and they send this little rover through, and of course it hits the wormhole and goes off where it goes. All of a sudden, this little, designator or this automated thing starts moving across this map. And when it stops, they're like, oh, well, look, it ended up on this galaxy on the other side of the universe. How the fuck do you know where that went? You're not triangulating shit with this fucking thing. It made absolutely no sense, to the point where I even just had to wonder, why even put that in there? The second one, of course, being the end of Independence Day and a MacBook interfacing with a fucking alien ship. Are you shitting me?
That's not space exploration, though.
It's not, but still, snort.
He found the virus, man.
Aliens don't use TCP/IP AirPlay. They're not compatible, folks. If I can't get fucking X-Wing versus TIE Fighter to play on my Mac, they are not uploading a virus to an alien warship. That's all I'm saying.
I think that movie was quite fictional. So it's okay.
Jesus. Yes.
It's okay.
Welcome to Earth, indeed.
I don't have any that... Mission to Mars is probably the one I would immediately go to. Well, you know what? Prometheus. Prometheus at the very end. When you realize...
The donut.
The donut. Yeah, Charlize Theron. Go left and you survive. Instead of running straight when a giant donut is chasing you.
Yeah, don't get me started.
but really the end where you find out... I think that could have been an absolutely beautiful movie if they just would have done it right. And jamming the alien in there was just, it just didn't work. It just didn't work. I mean, I know what they were trying to do and it just didn't work, but they had so many things that were working great in that movie. And then it got to the end and I'm like, wait, what? Oh shit. That's what you did, huh? All right.
Is she C-sectioning herself?
She got really healthy really fast.
Mm-hmm.
God bless her.
She comes from healthy stock.
Just put some Windex on it. She was fine.
Put some Windex on it. All right. So instead of picking her favorite movies and that sort of thing, we're going to pick our favorite teams. If we led a mission of space exploration, who would our perfect team be? So basically, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick four crew members, the leader, a second in command, a medical or a communications officer, whatever it is you want, and also the rebel. Now, you can interpret the rebel however you want, but this is a standard foursome for every space exploration group. We're going to start with you, Justin. Who are your four perfect combination of fictional characters from TV or film that you would take to space?
Well, my first choice has been on both as the same character. You cannot do better for a captain, in my opinion, than Jean-Luc Picard.
Agreed.
I think he's the greatest, a great combination of a diplomat and intellect, and when he has to be, a kick-ass leader. So that's the guy I want up front. But backing him up, I went with Commander Susan Ivanova from Babylon 5, played by Claudia Christensen. Her character was of Russian descent, so she was very stoic, a really tough chick. And I think she would do a better job of backing up Picard than even Riker did. I think she's pretty by the book.
You're fracking nuts.
Oh, I love Babylon 5. I think more than just about any science fiction show, including Star Trek.
I like it more than everybody else.
No, I like it more than all other science fiction
Is way more than your like.
Well, that's a given because I'm smart. All right. Now.
It's hard to argue.
I just realized I have got three women and one man on my crew.
Oh, of course
I went with
you
a medical officer, and I went with Martha Jones, who was one of the companions from Doctor Who. She was actually a doctor, so she does fit the part, and she was played by a woman named Freema Agamon, I think that's how you pronounce her last name. Mm-hmm. She was a great companion. She did not overstay her welcome. She was a genuine doctor on the show, and so I thought she would make a good medical officer on this ship. And for the Rebel, I went with someone from Farscape. I went with Gigi Egley's Chiana. For those of you who may not know who she was a very pale, pale blue, almost white-looking female with spiky white hair. And she was generally just the Rebel from top to bottom. She was constantly getting into trouble, getting in people's way, getting up to shenanigans. And if anybody on that ship needed a little loving, Shauna was there for them too.
Can I ask an honest Star Trek-y question?
Yeah.
I hear more love for Picard than I ever do Kirk. Why is that?
He wasn't reckless.
I mean, people love Kirk, but whenever you say who is the best captain, it's rarely Kirk.
Well, I think a lot of it is Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. Just as a performer, he brings more gravitas and pathos to a character than Shatner could ever dream of doing. Shatner could never have pulled off the speeches that Picard has to pull off, but he's Shakespearean. When he stands on that bridge, he brings all of that to his performance. Shatner is as good as he was as Kirk. He never had that same level of seriousness or command.
And he pauses more than Brian does.
He puts commas after every fucking word.
He does. We're about to enter another dimension.
But yeah, he did score a lot with the Green Chick. So, you know, if you're looking for a leader who does most of his leading from the bed, you may want to go Kirk.
He leads with the pelvic thrust. Oh, Brian, who's your dream team?
All right. Kind of sticking with the Star Trek thing, I'm actually going with Chris Pine's Captain Kirk.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. I like his kind of brashness that he kind of had more than William Shatner. So, I don't know. I just liked him. And honestly, it was hard to come up with somebody that was not related to Star Trek in some shape, form, or fashion to be the leader.
Fair enough.
My number two, one of the strongest women in space exploration and sci-fi and horror, Ripley.
Okay.
Wow, nice.
Sigourney Weaver. She's, you know, she's smart, she's tough, she can get the job done, has no problem telling everybody what to do. So I think she'd be a good number two.
And she brings a cat home.
She does.
It's the medical officer, Jodie Foster from Contact.
Very good.
So, you know, I don't have how much medical knowledge. Maybe it'd be more of a comms officer than a medical doctor, but yeah, she's like
very,
her, very real
sharp.
Smart.
Yeah, very sharp.
Need some brains on the team. And the Rebel and the one guy that I think would probably get Captain Kirk in a lot more trouble than he even gets himself in, Buck Rogers.
Oh, how did I not think of Buck Rogers?
Buck Rogers. I like it.
Oh, you know, I mean, if you remember the show at all, he was always kind of doing his own thing, even though everybody was telling him, you're not supposed to do that. You can't go there. You can't do this. You can't wear that, whatever. He said, fuck you. I don't care. I'm doing it.
Twiggy, twiggy, twiggy.
Bitty, bitty, bitty.
Was that light, bright Dr. Thermopolis?
My message tone is still Twiggy. Bitty, bitty, bitty. Yep. Love that. A good pick. And actually, you're gonna see a lot of resemblance in my choices.
I got to tell you, Wilma Darling from Buck Rogers, that was, I think that's when I awoke as a man, was when I saw her on the screen in those silver jumpsuits.
That must have been recent, man. Then.
Why are my shorts tighter all of a sudden?
God, she was so
causing this.
You're such men. My leader would actually be Ripley. I actually picked her to be my leader. Like you said, she's definitely the one that finds a way to make things work. She's strong. She's tough. She makes the tough decisions. And she's never looked at as a woman because she's just fucking Ripley. Mm-hmm. Second in command, Spock. I need somebody who's not impulsive, who is not emotional, who if Ripley is in a tough spot, he can just get her out of it. My medical or communications officer, and I know I kind of mocked the movie a little bit ago, but there's one character who I freaking love in that movie, Prometheus, and that's David, Michael Fassbender.
Ooh, good call.
That's the guy you need. That's the guy, or the robot, whatever, that you need. He's a brilliant, he's understanding of the entire universe, the ship, everything else. That's the guy you need. The Rebel, I picked Eleanor Arroway from Contact, Jodie Foster. Now, I know she's not like a gung-ho kind of rebel, but she's a very smart rebel. She goes against the grain. She does what she thinks right for all that's involved, no matter what the man says, even if it, you know, costs her career. So that's my team.
You know what she ain't?
What's that?
A poet.
That's true. She ain't a poet. Scott?
Well, I actually went with all explorers. I didn't know we could cheat and use any space movie, so.
That's not any space movie. Those are all space exploration.
Alien was not a space
Ripley?
Exploration movie.
Yes, it was.
They were space truckers. They were not exploring anything. They were hauling freight across the universe.
Unexplored space. I mean, when they found that planet,
yeah,
LZ, whatever, nobody ever discovered that, so they explored it.
They were exploring it.
They weren't out there for exploring. They were not on a mission to explore.
You're worried about aliens and Alien 3. We're on Alien 1, and Brian and I are correct.
Well, I agreed with Justin with Picard. You don't have a greater leader, I think, in any space exploration movie, film, or TV show. He's just the real deal. My backup is going to be kind of controversial, or my second in command, because he is an admiral. And I know putting an admiral below a captain is like way bad, but Adama from Battlestar Galactica.
No, you just demoted him, that's all.
Well, yeah, but I can't put him above Picard, because Picard is, to me, Picard is the perfect balance of gentleman and badass, whereas Adama is a little bit more broken than him. I don't think he's got quite as good of a head and shoulders. I think he's a little bit more emotionally unstable, but I think he's a good balance for Picard. For my medical or comms officer, I'm going real simple here, but I think Data, much like your David works, you can program Data to know everything. So,
but Michael Fassbender is prettier. I just want to go on point.
Yeah,
but Data is proficient in multiple forms of pleasuring. I don't think David was.
Is that
true?
Not,
he could be a love.
I didn't know that about Data.
Wow,
you didn't know that? Oh yes.
So he's like that. He's like what's his name character from AI? Gigolo Joe.
I know.
He's Gigolo Joe.
Tasha Yar got her a heap and helping his leaven on an episode.
There you go.
Man, I need to go back and watch Next Generation. Apparently, a little more. And for my rebel, Starbuck from the newer.
Oh, good pick.
The newer Battlestar Galactica. So
Starbuck. Good team. Everybody's got good teams.
Yeah.
Good job.
And not as much overlap as I was expecting.
No, not at all. Now let's do Facebook comments. What did the people listening to the show think about what their favorite exploration movies and explorers were? Justin, Brian?
Well, Michael Bonovich says Captain Jean-Luc Picard. We've already said that twice, so he's obviously picking with winners.
Steve Peterson says Doctor Who. He's not a real big fan of space movies or TV shows, but there's something about him that's just plain old fantastic.
Couldn't agree more. Scott Cagaro says Apollo 13 and The Right Stuff. I've never seen The Right Stuff.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've never seen it. I don't know how that happened.
Get out of our country, fucking commie.
But I've seen
you Apollo, ain't American.
I've seen Apollo 13 many, many times and enjoyed it. He also brings up Contact as well, saying that his favorite explorer has got to be Jodie Foster's Ellie Arroway from Contact. The world needs more real people with that insatiable curiosity.
Robert John Davenport says the Stargate series, including the movie. Basically, the standout for him was the Stargate universe, I guess, as a whole. And
well, that counts. Yeah, that would be space exploration. Yeah.
And his favorite explorer is the Doctor. So,
well, if Stargate counts, then Kurt Russell is probably the best explorer of all time.
Nah, he wasn't an explorer. He was just a muscle.
He was Kurt Russell, so he wins.
Enforcer.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Russell, the muscle.
He wins.
He was the flat top, though. Damn, that was an awesome flat top.
It was a good flat top.
God dang, he's got great hair.
Craig Schermerhorn says Captain Mal. I have to disagree only because Firefly I don't put as an exploration.
Yeah, I don't either.
TV show, nor do I really consider Serenity an exploration movie. Though the home world of the Reavers, I guess you could kind of finagle that into exploring, but really, no. He does go on, though, to say that Apollo 13 is in his top five movies of all time, so he gives it an honorable mention.
Sean McGuire says Star Trek Next Generation, hands down. So I guess that's some Picard love for you, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sean St. Clair says, I've always appreciated the accuracy in 2001 A Space Odyssey. That said, my favorite explorers would be the crew of Voyager, and they're probably the ultimate explorers in all of Star Trek.
True that. David McGrath says Contact is my favorite exploration movie. Really smart and entertaining. Space 1999. Well, there's a blast from the past. That was a favorite show of his when he was a youngin. And yeah, William Shatner is James T. Kirk, one of his favorite explorers.
Shane Hoens, Firefly, Captain Malcolm Reynolds. I love the Firefly love, but again, I don't think it's exploration, but you are welcome to keep thinking it if you like, Shane Hoens.
You just want to keep correcting him?
Yes. Well, I like to correct him, but then call him by his proper last name.
No, I meant correct the Firefly, because I get it. There was no alien, so a lot of people saw it as exploration, but it was really more they were just trying to survive on the fringe of space.
Ooh.
Yep.
All right, Dustin Baker says his favorite TV series would be Sci-Fi's Battlestar Galactica. he liked it all the way from the first pilot all the way to the ending. And you're fracking kidding me.
Shut up, Brian. Just because you didn't like it doesn't mean everybody else wasn't right. That's a great show. Fantastic show. One of the best science fiction shows ever.
Whatever. As far as movies, Galaxy Quest with Tim Allen and company basically hit it out of the ballpark.
By Grabthar's hammer. Charles Peterson. Nope. Patterson. I'm sorry. I get so confused with all the
There's too many Petersons on here. It's an easy mistake.
It's a good He says, I got to go with the original Star Trek movie or TV. No one can top William Shatner in his prime. For cheese, you were absolutely right, Mr. Patterson.
Joyce Miller actually agrees with you or him. Star Trek.
Yep.
Kirk. With the original Kirk.
Kirk gets some respect. You got to give the man some respect. I mean, really, that defined his character defined the leader of space operas and space science fiction shows.
Yeah. I mean, I give Shatner and Kirk all the respect I can, but that doesn't mean I can't throw a little jab his way from time to time, but he's no Picard. Douglas Clayton says The Black Hole, first movie I could identify as being cool. Max scared the crap out of my 5-year-old self, and the colors, love the palette still. TV, Buck Rogers, always flying through the exploding bad guys and girls in spandex. I love the future. But the thing, one of the things I remember most from that show, that lady queen of the draconians or whatever, you remember her? She had that big headdress and then basically tinsel down from that.
Yeah. Black Hole is a great movie. That's a great family movie.
I haven't seen that in years.
I mean, I'm sure it doesn't hold up.
It's probably terrible science, but.
Oh, shut up, Carl Sagan.
But that robot with the spinning blades, oh, man.
It was a good family.
That was the one that had the two, like, twin robots where one was all busted up, right?
There's
like
right.
One yeah, good something one. Like that.
Yeah.
Are there any more left, Justin?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, I guess from that, we can go into... Now we can go to emails and Facebook. Remember to like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just for fans of the show. For anybody that likes to talk about movies, there's a lot of crazy stuff on there. Link is always in the show notes. And if you review us on iTunes, we will read your review on the show. Justin, we just got one. Can you read that?
Yeah, we've got one from Kinsaras. It's a 5-star review. Thank you very much. He says, great group of guys with wonderful chemistry. If you're looking for some good laughs all the while getting the latest movie reviews, trailers, and more, got to check out these guys. Thank you very much.
Except Ouija, because I didn't go. I'm sorry. No. None of us did. I guess none of us are really into Ouija or Ouija.
I might go see it. We'll see.
Scott was saying it got 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Maybe not. Let me back away.
Just a bit like, just as a glutton for punishment, that makes me kind of a little bit more curious about it.
Yeah. What happens that makes this thing so horrible? It's like the car wreck. You have to go. Let's go to emails and tweets, Justin.
We've got an email from Shane Hoens. He says, my dearest Hoes, I finally got the chance to watch Horns with Daniel Radcliffe, and I must say I was pleasantly surprised. Radcliffe's character definitely has no muggles. Yet watching him struggle with holding on to an American accent, I'd give Radcliffe's performance 2 horns up.
Nice.
And then we got a tweet from Jay Stima saying, women in horror episode? Well done, guys and gals. It was fucking great.
Thank you. And be sure to check that out. Our Women in Horror episode is already up. It was very interesting. There's a lot of controversy about some of the comments, so I definitely think you should take a listen.
Me and Aaron and boobs and ass.
That's right. TNA. In fact, didn't she at one point say she's one's the tits, one's the ass?
I laughed out loud when I heard that.
That was pretty funny.
All right. Paula Sell says, gotta say, love the Armageddon quoting. If I wasn't driving when I heard it, I would have gave you guys a standing ovation. Bravo.
I say you give us a standing ovation anyway. I don't care if you're driving.
Yeah. Modern Medicine Film on Twitter. Their handle is at Mod Medicine Film. So check them out. They say, been looking for an account like yours. Can't wait for your movie podcast. That's very nice.
Thank you.
D.A. Cheney says, listening to the new episode. Great to have you all back. You guys are bringing it as usual. Okay, I guess the pronunciation bug has finally caught up with me. Yuzuul.
Yuzuul.
So, Steve Peterson, Captain Brevity.
That's funny.
Yeah. you're welcome, Amy. He says, I'm already sick of the Avengers trailer. I think there's something wrong with me. Not 10 minutes after it leaked, everyone on Facebook was posting it. It was the top 20 or so posts on Reddit, and people were even posting screen caps on Instagram. I know you guys discussed the oversaturation of trailers on a previous cast, and I feel that after only a day, this is already oversaturated. I haven't seen it. I'm trying to avoid as much as I can so I can actually be surprised when I go to the theater. Between TV ads, teaser trailers, theater trailers, sneak peek trailers, Red Band trailers, etc., I feel like I've seen see the entire movie before it's even out. Am I alone on this? Absolutely not. Nope. We pretty much discussed it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we pretty much all agree with you there. It's getting a bit out of hand.
Yep.
I actually think I don't need anything else. I don't need another trailer. I don't need anything else. I actually will avoid them if I can from this point forward.
Get to that point. Yeah.
Yep.
Justin won't.
Say that. But I know I'm not.
I was this close to not watching that second Ultron trailer today. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't not look at it.
And it's not really a trailer. It's just like extra footage or something. Right. So, Scott?
All right, we got an email from Jared. Jared says, what up, hobags? After hearing Scott mention the Sword of Truth series for the second time on last week's podcast, I decided that I had to email in. This series actually had a television series several years ago on ABC. Unfortunately, the show never made it past the second season. I personally thought the show was awesome, and it made me check out the books. This is huge for me because I'm not a huge reader. I would recommend Scott search out the show, and I would love to hear his thoughts on it in the future. Love the show, Jared. I actually did know that existed. I completely forgot about it until he reminded me. I think I passed up on it because it got canceled, and I wasn't going to get invested in it when I knew there was like 9 more books. But, and I don't know, that first book especially is really dark, and there's a lot of dark stuff that I know they wouldn't be able to put on ABC, but I'd still check it out, see how well I liked it. We also got a message from Craig Schirmerhorn. Craig says, Aaron, after decimating Scott's wife, he gets a free hit. Head or gut. Points if you get the reference. Isn't that a Last Boy Scout reference?
Last Boy Scout, yep.
Hit me again, I'll kill you.
Scott, don't hit him in
the... Yeah. Touch me again, I kill you. I don't want to be writing in. You got it wrong, Aaron.
Scott, don't hit him in the square ball.
I'm sorry I don't know balls around, all right? My mistake. Kudos for listening to the outtakes. I always wonder how many people actually listen to the outtakes and how many people don't. Some people probably don't even realize they're there. They just hear that rim shot and they turn it off. Or they get to the end where we're doing this stuff and they're like, I don't care about that stuff.
Thank God this is over.
Make sure you stay through the credits for outtakes. Uh-huh. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a lot of good things. I just did an interview with John Beaton Hill, who's a new filmmaker, just did a movie called The Wolves of Savin Hill. And there's an interview with the Coherence director, the Canal star, Rupert Evans. There's a bunch of stuff out there. Go check it out. There's a lot of other podcasts you can enjoy. Feedback at...
By that, you mean episodes of this show, not other podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. It's all our podcast. So you get to hear one of us talking, at least. There's nothing else there. Go to feedback at thehollywoodoutsider.com if you want to email us your thoughts on this episode or you just want to tell us how awesome or horrible we are, whichever way you look at it.
I prefer awesome.
Mm-hmm. I prefer awesome, absolutely. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app or through our RSS feed. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. I want to thank Justin, Brian, and Scott for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. And if you like games, come join the Gaming Outsider group on Facebook. Got lots of good conversations going there.
Promotion whore.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and if you listen to this episode early enough, Stillwater, 99 cents on Amazon for the ebook, just for the week of Halloween.
There you go. Brian, you and I got to write a book, so we got something.
I'm telling you, I got to come up with something to sell. Shit.
can we do a pop-up book?
I don't know. Maybe start selling Avon or something. I don't know.
We could just drop in our Avon code. I like it. I've got The Blacklist Exposed. So if you like The Blacklist, you can find The Blacklist Exposed, and I do that podcast as well. All right, guys. Well, remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy yourself some popcorn. In space.
No one can hear you crunch.
Well, I watch Psych a lot. Whenever I feel like shit, that's my go-to. Whenever I want to punch something. What's that?
Yeah, so you watch it pretty regularly.
Yep. Fuck you, Scott. What a dick.
Speaking of dicks, where's Brian at?
Oh,
bam.
Ba-da-bum-bum.
Did you do?
Oh, man, I was mad. Mad what? At you.
Mad at me?
I was like, fuck him and his fucking new review shit that I don't fucking know how to do and I can't fucking see it. Fuck him.
Oh, I am introducing you. This is, I always say if three people mention it, then I'll add it. Three people have mentioned that they had friends that started listening and we didn't introduce each other as in like, what's their role on the show kind of thing. So I'm going to give you, so Justin, give you an introduction as opposed to just your name.
So Justin, like, the lead reviewer.
No, more than that.
I'm bitch number one.
Here we go. Wow, did you hear the bitterness in his voice over there? So I mean, he was tinkering with it, and you actually have to get it to the number you want. You have to actually play with it so it averages to that number. So
if you want to play with it, oh, man, that sounds bad.
Whoa, I definitely walked in at the right time.
Try to explain that one.
Oh, boy.
I'd rather you not.
It's a good thing
I
we don't
really
have...
I don't know if I want to know the details.
It looks cool. It looks better. It looks more professional, but it is a little cumbersome.
Brian's like, we review stuff on the side?
It's my cumbersome.
Oh, wow. Copyright 2014.
You beat me to it. Macumbasa.
God damn it.
I like it.
Does what Justin's ego really need is a song named after him?
Like, yeah.